sitting here in this chair. It's hard to believe the view from my window used to be the endless stretch of the city. Now it's all trees, hills, and the most picturesque town you could ever imagine. They call it Big Sky, right outside of Yellowstone, which suits it perfectly. I've been here for 6 months, and honestly, I've never been happier to be out of the city. But I don't think I deserve this peace after what happened. 10 years I spent as a cop in LA with little to no incident. That's why they only fired me, I suppose. 10 years and one day, I made a mistake that changed everything. I responded to a bank robbery call, and half of the force was downtown in seconds. With no clear leadership, chaos ensued. I'm not sure who shot first, but it triggered an eruption of bullets towards the robbers. We're trained to react in a second to situations like this. So after only 5 seconds, every gun was empty. For some reason, I paused. I didn't pull the trigger. When I realized what had happened, I panicked and shot at the first thing I saw move while everyone else was reloading. It was a mother and her daughter trying to run away from the shots. Everything stopped in my life at that moment. I saw every cop's eyes on me. Some were confused, but some who realized what had happened had a look of sympathy. The media frenzy was insane, and I don't think I'll ever fully recover mentally. I've grown a beard, and my hair is longer than usual. I've successfully gone under the radar, except when I tell someone my full name. I can sense their look of disgust, even though they never say anything. There's not a night that I don't see the mother and her daughter in my dreams. Their faces haunt me, and their screams echo in my mind. It's funny how things change, you know? 1 minute you're a cop, the next, you're a park ranger. Well, not really a park ranger, more of a forest ranger. The forest solitude amplifies the guilt that gnaws at me every day. Every rustle in the leaves and every gust of wind feels like a reminder of what I did. And yet, I can't bring myself to leave. It's as though I'm punishing myself, living in this quiet, isolated place where only the company is the ghosts of my past mistakes. Sometimes, I catch myself thinking about what their lives would have been like if I hadn't made that fatal mistake. Would they still be alive, laughing, and enjoying life? The weight of their loss is a burden I cannot shake. Out here in Big Sky, it's not like dealing with bears and mountain lions. It's mostly just tourists who are lost in the woods, and the occasional poacher. And then there are the kids. God, the kids. They're always sneaking into places they shouldn't be, trying to find a thrill. The air is clean, the sky is blue, and the trees stretch for miles in every direction. The only time you could see a cop around here is when they're escorting a senior citizen across the road. And then, just like that, everything changed. 2 hikers went missing. At first, it was just another day. I went about my rounds and checked in on the usual hotspots. But then I saw their faces. They were young, probably in their early 20s. Their faces were plastered across every news channel and every billboard in town. It was almost as if they were haunting me. The first few days were chaotic. Search parties were organized, and the entire force was called in to help find them. But as time passed, and there was no sign of them, the search began to die. It was as if everyone had accepted the fact that they were gone. I couldn't help but feel a weight on my chest every time I saw their faces. It was like they were a constant reminder of my own failures. I tried to push the thoughts away to focus on the task, but it was impossible. The search parties continued, and with every passing day, the hope of finding them alive dwindled. It felt like I was holding my breath, waiting for a miracle. But deep down, I knew that miracle was unlikely to come. And with each passing day, the guilt weighed heavier, sinking me deeper into despair. Every time I looked at the faces of those missing hikers, it felt like a punch to the gut. Their disappearance was a haunting echo of my failure, a stark reminder of the lives I had unintentionally shattered. The knowledge of my hesitation and mistake led to this tragedy was a burden I could hardly bear. It felt like I was carrying the weight of their absence on my shoulders, and no amount of searching could alleviate the guilt that consumed me. I decided to go where the hikers were last seen along the trail. They had passed another group of hikers around the 5-mile marker, but who knows how far and what direction they had gone since their last sighting. As I got to mile marker 5, I noticed a tree that looked freshly fallen. The inside was splintered with fresh, healthy lumber in the middle of the tree, like someone or something had pushed or fallen on it. I went to investigate and noticed large footprints leading further into the woods, but I had never seen anything out in these woods big enough to create something this large. My mind immediately went to dinosaurs, but I quickly shook that off. The footprint was unlike anything I had ever seen before. Enormous and ominous, it stretched deep into the earth, leaving a chilling impression of what had passed through the forest. Each claw mark was etched deeply into the soil, as though whatever creature had left it had tremendous power behind every step. For a moment, I couldn't shake the feeling that I was being watched. It was a footprint like that of a wolf, but far larger and more menacing. A stark reminder that things in these woods were far beyond my understanding. With a shiver, I followed the footprint's trail into the woods, my heart racing. The air seemed to grow heavier with each step, as though some immense weight was pressing down upon me. The trees seemed to close in, forming a menacing canopy overhead, blocking the sunlight and casting the forest into a cold, eerie twilight. The footprints led me to a small clearing, where I caught sight of movement out of the corner of my eye. My heart leaped into my throat as I whirled around, but there was nothing but a small opening for a cave on the side of the mountain. I walked closer to peer in, but it was too dark to see anything. I contemplate using my phone light when I hear a huge thud in the trees behind me. I turned quickly, but I can't see anything. Thinking I was too paranoid, I decided to walk back to the path. I walked past the spot where I thought I heard the thud, and it looks like a fresh pair of prints. I have to be going crazy. I return to the path and make it to the station as the sun sets. I can't stop thinking about those footprints and that cave. As I lay in bed later that night, every time I fall asleep, I dream about the entrance to that cave and the two hikers screaming for help inside. It's like there's an invisible wall preventing them from escaping. I see their faces better as I approach and realize it's the mother and daughter I shot in LA. I wake up covered in sweat every time. The following day, I asked Lauren, one of my coworkers, and the other person who treats me like I'm not some outsider from a secret club. "You should ask Henry. He could access any record we've ever kept. Maybe he could find something about the cave in that clearing," she told me. "You think he'll help? Since I arrived, everyone's been so distant, like they're hiding something from me," I replied, hoping she feels enough sympathy to ask Henry herself. No luck, as she replies. Yeah, Henry's a good one. Look, you've only been here, what, 6 months? Give it time. I know people will warm up to you. Thanks, Lauren. I say disappointed as I head to Henry's office. He's been here longer than anyone, so he must know something. When I knock on his door, he looks up at me over his glasses as wrinkles form inquisitively on his forehead. I wait for a greeting, but it never comes. There is only an awkward silence before I break in. Hey, Henry, how's it going? I ask awkwardly. Henry sighs and leans back in his chair as he folds his arms, waiting for me to ask him to do his job. Yeah. So I found this small cave entrance near the Heart Trail. I saw a tree that must have been torn down from the middle a few days ago before I arrived, and I saw these giant weird-looking footprints. I followed them, and I found the cave entrance. Do you know anything about that cave? I ask, hoping he'll be more willing to help. Henry's unamused look faded the more I told the story. He knew exactly what I was talking about. He leans forward, resting his forearms on his desk, looks up at me and says, "Nope." I waited for him to expand, but once again, he left me to marinate in this awkwardness. I mean, can you look at least? And even if it's not recorded, don't you think you'd want to put it on record? I ask, annoyed at his unwillingness to act like he wanted the help. He frowns and sits back in his chair and says, "Are you telling me how to do my job, rookie? I've been here longer than most of these townsfolks were even conceived." He started to raise his voice the more he talked. "And you come in here after what you did to that poor mother and daughter? Yeah, you didn't think anyone knew?" I knew people were aware, but hearing him say it, it stabbed me through the chest like a serrated knife made of ice. Realizing that he has lost his temper, he calms himself and cleans off his glasses. "Get permission from Force Supervisor Reggie and I'll be your personal Google." He looked back down at his computer and continues doing whatever he does. Still stunned, I stand there, not knowing how to react to this interaction. After a few seconds, I slowly turn around and return to my desk. The rest of the day is a blur as I try to focus on my other tasks, but Henry's words kept replaying. Every time I close my eyes, I see the footprints in that tree that was torn down. Everyone in this office knows something, and they aren't telling me. Finally, after what felt like an eternity, I mustered up the courage to go see Reggie. I knock on his door and he calls me in. He's an older man with white hair and a kind smile. "Sir, I say, but before I could continue, Reggie puts his hand up to stop me from talking and chuckles. "Please, just call me Reg. Sir sounds like we're in the military," he said as he placed his hand down on the desk. A little thrown off, I continued telling about the tree off the hiking trail, the footprints, and the cave I had found. Just like Henry, Reggie's face dropped as I explained. He stares at me briefly before fixing his face and responding. "Oh yeah, that sounds like old Grunger's cave. It's probably recorded somewhere." "Yeah, that's why I'm in here. Henry said I needed your permission to get some information about the cave," I reply. He looks at me puzzled and wary. "What kind of information are you looking for exactly?" "Well, I don't really know yet. Something about it gave me a weird feeling, so I thought I would just look into it," I said. Reggie looked at me briefly before changing gears. "With all due respect, you don't have anything else to do?" I was caught off guard, not expecting him to shut me down like that. "Yeah, you're right. Sorry, sir. Reggie. I turned around and left the room. As I thought about how to get information without letting anyone at the station know, I decided to try the library. The library is quiet, with a few people here, and they're doing their own thing. I asked the librarian if they had anything on Grunger's Cave, and she directed me to the local history section. I spent hours poring over old newspapers, books, and archives, trying to find anything to help me. One book written by a local historian had some information on the cave. According to the author, Grunger's Cave was found in 1917, and nothing in particular sticks out except for a short passage that briefly mentions local tales about a giant creature who is said to live near this cave. After about an hour, I gave up and decided to go there again to see for myself, making sure to bring a flashlight. As I drive back to the trailhead, I wonder if the stories about the giant creature were just a cover-up for something else. Maybe there was something else in that cave that people didn't want found. Tonight, I'm going to find out. It's getting dark as I return to the hiking trail in the cave. I can see my breath as I walk, and the air is crisp and cold. The trees loom overhead, their branches swaying gently in the breeze. I could almost feel the presence of whatever had been haunting me since I'd found that footprint. I take a deep breath and steady my nerves as I approach the cave entrance. The entrance is narrow and covered in moss, making it appear almost organic. I flick on my flashlight and step inside, bracing myself for what I might find. The cave's interior is more extensive than I expected, with jagged stalactites hanging from the ceiling like teeth, and jutting stalagmites rising from the floor around me like bones. I move further in, feeling a sense of dread creeping up. There's an unsettling silence here, broken only by the echo of my footsteps and the distant sound of water dripping from above. I shine my flashlight around, searching for anything unusual, and my eyes fall on a large, irregular shape half hidden in the shadows. As I approach, my heart starts the race. It's a pile of bones. Human bones. The realization hits me like a punch to the gut. This is a crime scene. The hair on the back of my neck stands on end as I carefully move around the cave, finding more and more evidence of foul play. The further I go, the more confident I am that something terrible happened here. The bones of at least four people are scattered about, and there are signs of struggle everywhere. I try to remain calm, but I could feel my breath coming faster and faster. Suddenly, I feel the air get thick as I hear the rumble of big footsteps in the shadows before me. My heart pounds against my ribs as I realized what's about to happen. Before I could react, the creature lunges at me, its massive form filling my vision. Its skin is pale and rough, covered in dirty and matted fur covered in moss and twigs, like it's been living in these caves for centuries. It's a monster, a beast that should not exist in the modern world. I manage to dodge out of the way, but I'm not fast enough to escape its grasp entirely. The creature's claws rake down my arm, tearing through my jacket and leaving long, deep gashes that fill with blood. I stumble backward, feeling the cold, hard stone of the cave floor beneath me. My heart is racing, and all I could hear is the sound of my own panicked breathing. The creature looms over me, its putrid breath washing over my face as it growls low in its throat. Its eyes are like two burning coals, glinting in the light of my flashlight. It's not human. Not anymore. Whatever this creature was once, it's been twisted and warped by whatever horrors it faced in these caves. I try to stand, but my legs are weak and shaking. The pain in my arm is excruciating, and I can feel warm blood trickling down my side. The creature circles around me slowly, claws clicking against the stone floor. It seems to be studying me, sizing me up. I can't move. I can't breathe. I can't even scream. It turns its back, and I take a moment to get to my feet and run out of the cave, hearing the creature's roar echo against the cave walls. I could hear its giant footsteps getting closer and closer until I finally reach the entrance and throw myself out. The creature doesn't follow as I sigh in relief on the floor. Shaking uncontrollably, I try to catch my breath as I look at my bloodied arm. The cut is deep, but I don't think it's life-threatening. I need to get out of here and call for backup, but first, I must find something to use as a tourniquet. I look around and spot a nearby tree, its branches laden with vines. I rip some of the vines off and quickly tie them around my arm, trying to staunch the flow of blood. Once I'm sure I've done what I can, I return to the station, my heart pounding. My vision is blurry from the pain and shock, but I manage to make it to the front desk. I collapse into a chair, trying to catch my breath. The receptionist looks at me with wide eyes, concerned for my well-being. "What happened?" she asks, her voice shaking. "Are you okay?" I try to calm my breathing before responding. I think so, but I need to tell you what I found." I gesture to my bloodied arm, and she jumps to her feet, looking horrified. No, it's not as bad as it looks. Just get a first aid kit." She practically runs out of the room, and I lean back in the chair, closing my eyes for a moment. When she returns, she carefully cleans, stitches, and bandages my arm, all the while listening to my story. I told her everything that had happened, but I could tell that she didn't believe me. "You sure you didn't imagine this?" she asks, her voice filled with doubt. "You should get some rest and reconsider your story in the morning." I nod, trying to convince myself as much as her. "I know what I saw. It wasn't a dream, and it wasn't a hallucination. That thing, it wasn't an animal. It was some sort of monster, and it's still out there." She sighs, looking unconvinced. "Look, I'm sure you've been through a lot tonight. Why don't you just go home and get some rest? We could deal with this in the morning, okay?" Reluctantly, I agree and head home, hoping word doesn't get around to Reggie that I went back. The rest of the night passed in a blur of nightmares and restless sleep. I can't shake the image of that creature from my mind, and every time I close my eyes, I see its razor-sharp claws and ravenous yellow eyes. When I finally muster the courage to return to the station the following day, I find that she didn't report my little expedition after all. Maybe she thought I was crazy too. I feel a strange relief, as if admitting my story would make it real. I made my way to my desk, still shaken from the events of the night before. The station is busy with activity as usual, but it's difficult for me to focus on anything but the monster. I try to convince myself that it was just a dream, a hallucination brought on by stress and exhaustion. I went through my day on autopilot, trying to make it through my shift. When I went home, it was only 8, but I went to sleep as soon as my ass hit the couch. I had dreams of the creature and what it could do to me. I woke up in a cold sweat, looking at the clock. It said 2:03 a.m. I knew I wouldn't be able to go back to sleep, so I decided to start my morning early by brewing some coffee. The monster still plagued my mind as I showered and groomed for the day. I dressed in jeans and a t-shirt, the injury on my arm itching slightly as I pulled a long-sleeved shirt on to hide it. I didn't want to draw more attention to myself than I already had. I decided to head to the station since I had nothing else to do. As I drove, I started concocting a plan to get the information from Henry. I knew he wouldn't be in for a few more hours so I could snoop around his office. I park my car and go to his office. I take a deep breath and slowly open the door. The room is just like I remember, messy and full of clues. I sit at his desk, feeling guilty but determined to find what I needed to know. I began by searching through his files, looking for anything that might have a connection to the secret society. Finding a few files on suspicious names and symbols didn't take me long. As I flipped through them, I noticed a hidden drawer in the desk. I pulled it open to find a stack of even more incriminating files. They're full of names, dates, and locations of people who have disappeared, all linked to something called the Covenant of the Hound. I feel a mixture of fear and determination as I slip the files into my bag. With the evidence in hand, I know I have to do something about this. I just can't ignore it and hope it goes away. I decide to see if I could find anything else on this Covenant of the Hound. I search the dusty shelves to find an old leather-bound book. The title page is read, The Covenant of the Hound, Values. I carefully open the book, expecting to find some twisted code or hidden message. Instead, I met with seemingly innocuous paragraphs about loyalty, obedience, and protection. As I read on, however, a darker undertone begins to emerge. The Covenant seems to be less about helping others and more about controlling them. There are mentions of ancient rituals and bloodlines and a monster demanding complete submission from his followers. In return, the monster provides protection from any threats brought to the members. This had to be the monster I saw in the cave. Shaken by what I've read, I quickly close the book and put everything back in place. I can't help but feel a sense of dread as I make my way to my desk. I know that I have to do something about this, but at the same time, my mind is running about who exactly is a part of the Covenant. I decided to start with the files I found earlier, and see if I could find any connections between the names on the list and Henry's friends or acquaintances. As I searched through the files, I came across Henry's note that he was meeting someone important early in the morning at a local diner. The time said 4:30 a.m., an hour away. I decide to find the diner and wait for them. I drove to the diner, parking my car discreetly down the street as I waited until I saw them. I watch Henry's car pull up, and another person pulls up behind him. They exchange words before Henry hands something over, and the other man leaves. Henry returns to his car, likely headed to the station, so I did the same. As I followed him, I can't help but feel a sense of dread in my stomach. I don't know what I will do, but I know I can't let him get away with whatever he's involved with. Maybe if I confront him, he'll tell me the truth. Perhaps he's not part of it, and this was a misunderstanding. But then, why did he have all those files on his desk? And why did he meet with that man at the diner? I decide to keep the information to myself and act like I knew nothing as I parked my car at the station. I walk into the station, trying to act casual and approach the locker room. There's a strange atmosphere in the air today. Everyone seems on edge. I quickly change into my uniform and head to my patrol car, hoping to avoid...
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Awkward conversations. As I drove through the forest, I can't help but feel a sense of unease. Every sound, every moment, every sound makes me jump. I try to push those thoughts away, telling myself that I'm just being paranoid. When I get to my post, I notice Lauren sitting in her car. Was she waiting for me? I get out and knock on her window to get her attention, and she rolls it down. "Hey, you okay?" Lauren asks, noticing the look on my face. I take a deep breath and try to compose myself before answering. "Yeah, I'm fine. I think I might have made a huge mistake." I tell her about finding the files in Henry's desk and seeing him at the diner earlier, giving something to a mysterious person. I leave out the part about the covenant, just in case. Lauren listens intently, her eyes narrowing as I speak. "And you think Henry's involved in something shady?" she asks. I nod, feeling a mixture of fear and anger. I don't know what to think, but I know I can't ignore it. Lauren sighs, her expression softening. "Look, I can't inform or deny anything, but I could tell you this. If you're worried about Henry, you should stay away from him. He's not who he seems." I nod, feeling a mix of relief and fear. "What about you? Can I trust you?" Lauren gives me a small smile. "You could trust me. I've been watching out for you, even before all this. I want to help you, but we need to be careful. The people you're dealing with are dangerous." I nod, still not entirely sure what to think. "What do I do now?" Lauren looks around, making sure no one else is watching us. "We need to be careful. I could help you, but you need to trust me. And you need to understand that this goes deeper than you think. The people you are dealing with are powerful and dangerous." "How do you know that?" I ask hesitantly. "Let's just say I have my sources," Lauren replies cryptically. "Now listen carefully. You need to keep your guard up at all times. The people you're dealing with are smart, and they're watching you. They'll try to make contact again, probably through someone close to you. You can't trust anyone." As she says this, I can't help but feel a chill run down my spine. "So what am I supposed to do? Just wait for them to make the first move?" Lauren shakes her head. "No. You need to be proactive. You need to find out more about this secret society. You need to find out what they want from you and why they are after you. You need to figure out how to stop them. If my research is correct, we need to kill the monster." I take a deep breath, my heart racing. "Kill the monster? What do you mean?" "The secret society is called the Covenant," Lauren explains. "It's been around for generations, and it's behind some of the most horrific events in the town's history. They are led by a man called the Master, who you saw at the diner earlier. He has a pet name for the creature, the Dogman." I don't know what to do with this information. Ironically, I trust her less now that I'm aware that she has ties to this covenant. Even if they're loose ties, it still makes me wary. I try to gather my thoughts, but my mind feels like puzzle pieces. So, what's our plan? I ask, not seeing any other direction to turn. Lauren leans in closer, her expression serious. Our plan is to kill the monster. I get into her cruiser, and we drive towards the cave, not knowing if I will make it past today alive. I don't understand why they're all after me, I say as Lauren navigates the narrow path to the cave. What do they want from me? You know too much, James, and they know it. You've been asking questions about things you shouldn't have. You are getting close to something they've been trying to keep hidden for a long time. They want to control the information, and they can't do that if you keep digging. Lauren says as she parks the car, and we both get out. She takes a deep breath, steeling herself before continuing. They're not going to let you go easily. They'll come after you again, and getting away may not be easy next time. We need to be prepared. You need to trust me, and I need you to trust yourself. I nod, feeling a mixture of fear and determination welling up inside me. Okay, I say, taking a deep breath. Then let's do this. We approach the entrance to the cave, and I quickly set up bear traps that Lauren had stored in her cruiser. Lauren watches me intently, offering advice and suggestions when needed. As I work, I can't help but feel a strange sense of purpose, as if everything in my life has been leading up to this moment. Once the traps are set, we both step back, our hearts pounding in our chests. Now we just wait, Lauren said. Hours had passed as we sit in the bush out of sight, and still no creature or signs of anything. Lauren, ever so patiently, is chewing on her fingernails, making my stomach turn. I look at her, and she looks back at me, worry etched onto her face. We've been sitting here for an eternity, and I'm curious if I had made the wrong choice. Should I have ran away, hidden somewhere, and tried to forget about this whole mess? But I can't shake the feeling that I'm not supposed to leave this place, that there's something more I need to do. Hours pass as we tell each other our life stories. I must admit, at some points I had forgotten the danger we were in and found myself having fun. Lauren's an interesting person. She lived a life of adventure. She's seen things that I can't even begin to imagine. And yet, here she is, sitting beside me, waiting for a monster to come out of the cave. My eyes grow heavy as the sun starts to set. It's completely night when I open my eyes, and I panic, forgetting where I was and why. As it all starts coming back to me, I look for Lauren, but I don't see her anywhere. I get up trying to stay quiet, to look at the traps. One is closed and has a blood trail leading to the cave entrance. I frantically look for Lauren, but still don't see her. As I peer into the cave, I could see light flickering like the cave was lined with torches the further you go in. I continued to follow the torches with my flashlight in hand when I heard an uneven sound of giant footsteps behind me. When I turn, I see the vast creature limping into the cave, so I find a crevice to hide in. As I carefully peer out, I could see the creature limping slowly, periodically stopping to lick its wound. I try to shallow my breathing and stay as quiet as possible. The light flickers brightly as it draws closer, and I could see it better now. It's massive, with skin like burnt leather and eyes that glow with an eerie yellow light. Its limbs are like a twisted and deformed wolf, moving with a strange, jerky grace. As I carefully shift my weight, a small pebble, just big enough to make a noise, tumbles. The creature jerks its body in my direction and roars. It sounds like a mixture of a human screaming and a lion roaring. It takes a step closer to me, its yellow eyes piercing the darkness. I try calming my breathing, praying it doesn't hear or smell me. The creature takes another step and another, inching closer with each move. My heart feels like it's going to beat right out of my chest. I can't even begin to imagine what it would be like to face this creature in a fair fight. Just as I'm sure it's close enough to smell me, I hear what I could only assume is Lauren screaming at the top of her lungs. The creature quickly limps away further into the cave. I'm momentarily relieved, but then realize that I have to find her. I carefully followed the creature's trail, hoping it leads to Lauren. The cave winds deeper and deeper into the mountain, the air growing colder and more damp. As I round a bend, I see a flickering light in the distance. My heart pounds in my chest as I cautiously approach, wondering if it's Lauren or the Society. I enter a pitch black round room. As I swing my flashlight, I can't see anything in the room until I hear Lauren whisper, "Psst, James." I go towards the sound, but I can't find anything. When I turn around, my flashlight catches the creature before me as it lunges towards me. I was able to jump out of the way just in time, but he was able to scratch my cheek a bit, but nothing life-threatening. On the ground, I frantically search for something to defend myself with, and I find a sharp, long rock and pick it up. I looked up and saw the creature lunging at me again, but this time, I wasn't fast enough to move as it grabbed me with one hand, tightly by the waist. It lifts me up to its face, but before it could do anything, I plunge the rock into its left eye as it drops me onto the floor. It roars and stumbles around as it runs into the walls, falling to its knees periodically. I slide my body on my butt until I hit a wall. I get to my feet and follow the wall, making sure to avoid the stumbling creature. I finally found the entrance, but it's different from where I'd came in. Finally gaining composure, the creature sees me leaving and stumbles towards me. I run deeper into the new tunnel, praying it leads to safety. I hear voices further in it, and I sprint as I make my way into a room of about 8 individuals dressed in brown cloaks. Some of them have a hood hiding their faces. Startled by my entrance, they all look up, and I recognize most of the faces. Reggie, Henry, Freddy the theater owner, Larry the elementary school principal, and the most surprising one, Lauren. One of the men I didn't recognize, who looked to be the leader, opened his mouth to say something, but before he could, the loud footsteps limping is heard echoing towards us. The man smiles wide and relaxes himself, likely confident he controls the creature. As I hear the footsteps, I run towards what I assume to be the exit, but I am tackled to the ground and everyone cheers and laughs. I look up and see Lauren on top of me, the one who tackled me. Her smile is horrifying and not at all like the Lauren I know. She leans close, her breath hot on my face as she whispers, "I'm sorry, James. I had to do it." The creature enters the room, still stumbling as it accidentally crushes 2 members under its foot, not seeing what it was doing. The leader begins screaming mysterious words that I can't remember, which seemed like it snapped the creature out of its destructive ways for a second before realizing the pain in its eye again. It continues destroying everything in its path indiscriminately, killing most of the Covenant members. Lauren was still on top of me, and neither of us was moving in shock about what we saw. I snapped out of it and used the moment to get the advantage, so I grabbed a nearby rock and hit Lauren over the head with it, causing her to fall to the ground, still cautious but unmoving. I run towards the exit, but I look back one more time and see the creature tearing bodies apart as blood and the screams of something I've never heard in my life fill the room. As I run, I could faintly hear Lauren begging me to help her, but it turns into a blood-curdling scream that echoes in my ears to this day. Finding my way took about a half an hour, as the cave was like a maze. When I made it out, I head to Lauren's cruiser and dig through her stuff, hoping to find something to help destroy the cave entrance. Finally, after too many minutes, I see a pickaxe, which, thinking about it now, looks pretty odd. But then again, Lauren was never the person I thought she was. I use the pick and attempt to remove enough rock on the side so that the top will cave in and cover the entrance. I was doing this for about 45 minutes when I heard the faded limping footsteps of that creature heading out of the cave towards me. I hurried my pace, but I had already done a good amount of work on both sides. My arms are starting to give, but my mind won't let them quit as I heard the footsteps, which are now accompanied by the roar and growl of the creature getting closer. I only had about 5 more minutes until it makes it to me. As the growl gets louder, I finally remove enough rock, and it all comes tumbling down on top of the entrance, sealing it shut. I fall backwards onto the ground, exhausted and out of breath, as the growling gets louder. Then it finally reaches the cave's entrance. I can hear it howling and roaring in anger. Looking around, I see I am now at the forest's edge. I stand up and walk away, still in shock at what had happened, not knowing where to go. Walking, I could feel something warm and sticky dripping down my arm. I look at it in horror and realize that it's blood. I've been wounded somehow. I try to remember if it was from Lauren or the creature, but my mind is still reeling from the night's events. I keep walking, figuring out where to go or what to do. The forest around me is eerily quiet, almost as if it's holding its breath, waiting for something to happen. The trees loom overhead, their branches swaying gently in the night's breeze. I try to remain calm and focus on my surroundings, but the adrenaline from the attack keeps pumping through my veins. I look down at my arm again and see that the blood is still seeping out, staining my shirt and dripping onto the forest floor. The pain begins to set in, and I realize I have no idea how badly I'm hurt. I can't get to a hospital in time. Hell, I don't even know where I am. Feeling weak, I sit my back against a tree and slowly fall asleep. When I wake up, I'm in a hospital surrounded by doctors. I feel an immense pain in my arm as they wheel me into the ER. I pass out again and wake up 4 days later. Doctors tell me that another ranger found me and brought me in. My heart sank as I thought of the possibility of the Covenant saving me for some reason. I started to panic and asked about discharge, but they told me that they had to do surgery on my arm since it had gotten too infected. Long story short, I had to be sedated for a month straight, and I lost my arm. Every day, every moment I wasn't sedated was filled with panic. I dreamt of the creature and Lauren. The creature scared me, but Lauren's betrayal hurt me the most. I know I didn't know her for long, but she was the only one there for me. I now realize she was probably planted to ensure that I stayed away, and when she realized I wasn't going to back down, she led me to a trap. The doctors kept telling me I was lucky to be alive, but I didn't feel lucky. I felt like a failure. A month passed, and I finally fully woken up from the sedation, feeling restless and angry. I demanded a discharge, and after hours of arguing, I was back on the streets. That was 8 years ago, and I still dream of the creature and Lauren every night. Whenever I have trouble with my missing arm, I think of them. At this point in my head, they have become the same monster.